Assigned one verse, I'm assigned two. And he took 45 minutes. I timed myself like 7 minutes, okay? So if I can get done in 40 minutes, I'll be good. And I'll try not to talk too long, but I'll use that. So where John was trying to set the subject up with verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I start getting into the real meat, the nuts and bolts of what David is speaking about, being a shepherd once upon a time, guiding sheep, knowing what it was like to care for animals, and then writing down his thoughts as being a sheep now under the guidance of his Father in heaven. And knowing that God had always provided for him, he was able to construct a very meaningful psalm that lasts through the ages and means so much to so many people. If they'll really get into what the meaning of it is, everybody can say, the Lord's my shepherd. But did they really let the Lord shepherd them? Specifically, I'm talking about provisions of the good shepherd. I'll just tell you, my verses I'm talking about are, he leads, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. Those are the three lines of that entire psalm that I'm concentrating on today. So we're beginning a comparison of the provisions of of sustenance, and I thought I would put a definition up there. There's nothing like trying to teach on a subject and you don't really understand what the word means, what you're trying to get the point across. So we're going to compare the provisions of sustenance that sheep require for a healthy, contented life to the provisions of spiritual sustenance that a man, a person, needs in order to live a righteous, God-fearing, contented life. We're going to find that sheep, just like man, needs more than just food and water to live, to be sustained. We will not be learning how to be shepherds of sheep. We had sheep when I was a youngster. I didn't learn too much about them. They were just a lot of fun. They were soft, and you could wrestle with them, and you could get them to follow you. They liked to be friendly. They were so soft, and then the next day, if we had like 8 sheep, we'd have 16 sheep sometime in like 3 or 4 days, and we'd go like, how's this happening? Where'd they all come from? But that's one thing you learn on the farm. There's a lot of things that happen that you don't quite understand, but sheep, they were very playful. They're pretty smart, but we're not going to learn how to be shepherds. And although there may be 4 or 5 billion sheep in the world today, we don't have a whole lot of them around here. We don't see the sheep. But by learning about some of the characteristics that sheep have, we're going to better understand how we, like sheep, can be more dependent on our good shepherd, our Father in heaven. So we begin. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. Well, let me be clear here that we're talking about what a shepherd does for its sheep. Sheep are pretty helpless. I'm going to describe some things as we go through this that sheep really need a shepherd. To start with, it's nearly impossible for a sheep to be content, happy, gaining weight, doing good, unless 4 requirements are met. They cannot lie down unless they're free from fear. They must be free from social friction within their flock. When they're tormented by pests, they can't lay down. How can we? If we go camping sometime and we get in the tent and we lay down, we get all comfortable, and then it's like, there's this mosquito. We We can't sleep. We can't even stay down. Where's that mosquito? We got to get rid of it. It's bugging us. And also, can't sleep when you're hungry. And that's the way sheep are. So, first point, for sheep to lie down, they must be free. These are the four areas. The distinctive factor in all of this is sheep can't do much of anything to help themselves. They can't do anything. It's the shepherd that makes things possible for the sheep to lie down and rest and relax and be content. Sheep are easily panicked. If one sheep bolts, the rest of them will follow. They don't even care what scared them. They're just going like, well, something spooked them. I'm spooked too. So fear is not a good thing for them as long as they have the slightest sense of danger. They stay on their feet. They're ready to run for their lives. They can't rest. They can't do good. They're nervous, we'll say. They're upset. Sheep have very little means of defense, of self-defense. They can run. Doesn't do them a whole lot of good in their world. 20 miles an hour is the fastest that a sheep can run. Something like that. And so let's say it's 25. That doesn't do much good because a wolf can run 37 miles an hour, almost twice as fast. A coyote, 43. A bear, 35. A lion, 50. It's apparent why a sheep will stay close to their shepherd for protection. Almost every animal that has been domesticated can be returned to the wild with a fighting chance of survival, but not a sheep. Put a sheep back in the wild and all you've done is given nature a snack. A sheep without a shepherd is helpless. A matter of fact, they're hopeless. But sheep with a good shepherd can learn to relax. Even when they don't see him around, they know he's near. They know he's there to protect. And they get comfortable. And that's what the good shepherd does for the sheep, is to make them lie down. What comfort level do you think David's sheep had? So I'm going to do sort of a corny little scenario here. Here comes a little lamb running from the hills, crying out to the rest of the flock, "Quick, a bear is chasing me. Hide, run." And the old sheep says, "Relax, kid. You should have seen what our master did to that lion last week." In the Christian life, those who know their master understand that he's near in a time of need. Psalm 46 tells us God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Do we just read that and say that applied to somebody else, or does that apply to us? It applies to me, because it works for me. For most of us, the unexpected or the unknown causes us the most distress. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I lose my job? What if I get sick? What am I going to do? Centuries ago, and I've heard many other people say this, I think Mark Twain has gone down in annals of recorded writing, said, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." I can tell you that's the way it works for me a lot of times. I get concerned, I get anxious. 2 Timothy tells us not to think that way. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, we have the spirit of fear if we don't have God in our life, obviously, but he has not given us a spirit of fear when we depend on him. The mindset of fear and worry is not the way he wants us to be. He wants us to think that we can do all things through him. John 4:18 says, fear involves torment. God wants us to have a sound mind, a disciplined mind, looking to him for peace, not fearing for the future. not fearing about what might happen. Oh, I feared about having to get up here this morning. I thought, okay, they're going to cancel this thing. I'm not going to have to do this. Sure enough, good day. Bob calls me up, says, canceling our fall meeting. That's the good news. Bad news, you're going to be speaking 2 weeks earlier than what you thought you were. So you're not getting out of this. So quit thinking you are. God wants us to have a sound mind. David wrote in Psalm 4 and 8, I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone make me dwell in safety. Can you say that? Okay, look at this. I think you'll agree with me that David probably had a lot more things going on in his life with everything that he was doing, being the king of Israel. He probably had more things going down than all of us put together. Yet he said, I can lie down and go to sleep. Of course, the Lord comforts me. I can do that. If he can say that, we can learn to say that too. There are just some things that we can't stress out over. Some things that we can't, you know, we change the meaning, we change the words because we can't say we have pride about anything. We can't say we worry about anything, so we change the words. The second requirement necessary for sheep to lie down is a freedom from tensions and rivalries and competition within the flock itself. In every animal society, including man, there's an order of dominance or status within the group. It's called the pecking order with chickens. It's called the budding order with sheep. One domineering sheep will become the boss over any flock. Other less prominent sheep will fit in to their own level that they establish, all the way down to the little lambs who really don't care a thing about it yet. But they will, because they will be pushed into a competition like that. When they are confronted with that, they can't lie down and rest and be content. They can't lead a good, healthy life. They have to stand up and defend their rights. When the shepherd isn't present, the sheep play their little pecking order, their budding order games, okay? They just do like, say, we do when mom's not home. Six of us, we had it, my oldest brother. It was the biggest. He's the biggest. He's the strongest. He hit harder. He wrestled harder. I was second. I could pick on my little brothers and sister, and I was fine. But didn't work that way going up. When our mom came home, just like when the shepherd comes to the flock, we quit. We quit fighting. We quit picking on each other. We quit doing those things that we'd been doing. The shepherd made the difference in a sheep's behavior. So too is it with human society. Whether it's the world, a nation, a state, a city, a family, or a church, you're going to have a budding order. You're going to have somebody that's in charge, and it's going to work its way all the way down. This budding order causes resentment and jealousy that evolves into contempt. And finally, when it's finished, hate and disdain. Who can be content in a competition like that? No one can. Not even the bully at the top. Because somebody's out there looking for a chance to knock him off his perch and take over. It's not the way for us to be. It's not the way for us to live a God-fearing, contented life, to do good and to show good to others. We can't do it if we're always concerned with our status. Psalms 23 and 2 is a picture of God's people lying down in peaceful contentment because the Good Shepherd provides that setting, that situation, that mindset. One mark of a Christian should be contentment. Content to get along with others more than to get ahead of others. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 tells us godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 4, 11 and 13. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to handle little. I know how to handle much. I have learned to be satisfied or to be hungry. How did he learn that? Well, the basic way we learn a lot of things, even when we have our faith in God, is we try it out. We see that the things of this world don't provide contentment. They don't provide happiness. Oh, they can for a little while, but sooner or later you're going to want more and more and bigger and more expensive, and the next thing you know, that's all you're doing in your life. I've seen it. I've done it. I've lived that experience. I'm glad to be back where I am right now. Oh, money can make you have a lot more freedoms in this life, but those freedoms, they drag you in the wrong way a lot of times. Matthew 20 and 6, and as well in 19 and 30, Jesus warned about man's ambition, about being better or having more. He said, many who are first will be last, and the last first. We understand that, don't we? We have responsibilities, and we have to fill those responsibilities, whether it's in a family or whether it's in a business. We get put in a position, we have to do what we're expected to do. If we're in charge of some people at work, if we're a mom or dad, like John was talking about with his children, you have to step up and be the dad, be the husband, be the man or the woman. We know that God sees everything. We know he hears everything. We know that. We accept that. Why then do we sometimes act like the shepherd's gone and he's not watching, and we do what we want? We get away with it and he'll never know. I'm a people too. I know what I think and how I think sometimes. I think, what's it going to hurt? Why can't I do that? It'll be okay. He'll understand if he's not so busy that he really wants to pick on such a little thing like that in my life. He'll forgive me. I mean, that's not the mindset we should have. The sheep, they can't get away with so many things because they don't know that the shepherd's not there sometime. But good sheep that are provided for and appreciate that provisions that the shepherd gives, they say, I want to be a good sheep. I want to do what I'm supposed to do all the time. The human side in man is to try to get away with things or try to be not so much on our best behavior. Why do we think too much of ourselves sometimes when we really aren't? Because in the end, no matter what we think of ourselves as how we fit into society or around the house or at work or in the nation, wherever we are, it's going to be God that really decides what our status is. The third provision for a sheep to be able to lie down, they have to have freedom from insects, parasites, and those things. There's a lot of things that are out there in the animal world, pests and parasites. Nasal flies and bots and warbles. Warbles are horrible things. I'm only going to tell you about one of these, so you won't have to endure too much of it. Maybe somebody next week will talk about this a little bit more. But when they have these parasites and insects that torment them, they are most miserable. They can't lie down. They shake their head. They run into the brush trying to knock the flies off of them, to get them away from. Even in Philip Keller's book, talks of sheep banging their head against trees, just trying to relieve the pain that they endure. I think it's like when you have a little pain and you go like, well, hit yourself on the hammer with hit itself on the thumb with a hammer, and that'll make your little pain go away. So that's sort of what they do. But there isn't anything they can do. It's totally up to the shepherd. The nasal fly actually lays a larva, not an egg, in the nostril of a sheep. And that larva crawls up the nasal passage and embeds itself. It's only by the care of a good shepherd that these things can be prevented. There's not a lot that can be done about those kind of things after the fact. But prevention is big. Similarly, in the Christian life, there are irritations and frustrations and distractions that bug us. We say that sometimes. Like, you see somebody that's not quite the same today, and you go like, what's bugging him? What's bugging her? You know, what's wrong with them? How can we escape these things? How has God provided relief for us? He's not out here giving us a shot or pouring something on us to keep bugs away. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And I'll highlight what Isaiah 41, 10 through 11 says. I have chosen you. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will withhold you. Don't you start feeling like God is really going to help you with something? Just knowing that somebody, some God up there can help us with the problems. I will reward you if you diligently seek me. When you know God cares and he tells you all this stuff, it has to make us know that somebody actually cares up there. In Romans 8 and 18, Paul writes, the suffering now can't be compared with the glory that will come later. We have the Holy Spirit to help us, and we don't know exactly what to say. But the Holy Spirit makes us see that life with Christ is the only way to be satisfied. And even though we don't like or understand why things are going the way they are in our life, we have confidence that everything will work out for good to those that love the Lord. What can we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Many things bother us, concern us, get us off track. But without a positive attitude, we're not going to be able to handle them. I have a little three-word saying that I think of a lot of times. And this is it. Attitude reflects leadership. I picked it up once upon a time, and it's been one of those things that helps me. When my attitude gets down, when I start thinking the wrong way, I think about my attitude reflects the leadership that I have. And so who's my leader? Who's my shepherd? Who watches out for me? Is my attitude similar to how Jesus was? John told us this morning, not my will, but thy will be done. My meat is to do the work of my Father in heaven. That's what he came to do. What's our work? What's our meat? What's the main thing in our life? What are we dedicated to? Things are the one that watches out over us. Last in this series, a sheep must be free from hunger to lie down. Hungry sheep are always on the move. They trying to satisfy their hunger. We're probably that way too. That's what we have refrigerators for, I think. But sheep will destroy their grass, their supply of food, if they're left alone. They don't understand that they're doing it, or they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't say, oh, look, guys, everybody out here, we got to go to another place because this grass is getting short, and if we keep eating on it, it's going to be down to nothing, and we're not going to have anything. So everybody pack up, and let's go over to another green pasture. They don't do that. They have a shepherd that does that for them, and that's why the shepherd makes them lie down, leads them in paths of righteousness, helps them with the things that are going on in their life. God told his people about a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and that he would give it to them if they would believe in him and take it. He gave it to them, but they have to take it. God wanted to provide a place for them that would not only satisfy their physical needs, but also their spiritual needs. Not by bread alone, as we're told, but by every word that would guide them. Matthew 5 and 6 tells us that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. That's what we hunger about. That's why we're here this morning. We want to know more. We want to learn more. We're hungering for the Word of God. Because we forget, don't we? We can get our game all in order, and we can be pretty good, but then a week goes by, and here we are again. But that's the way the world does. They come to get filled up on Sunday morning. It's back to usual on Monday, maybe by Sunday night. It's just here for a showing. It's just here to say, Lord, you know, I care. I gave you an hour of my life. Jesus says that he is the bread of life. When we realize just how awesome God is to us, we want to love him and obey him to show him that we appreciate him. That's the human way. That's what we do. There's many things that we do to accomplish that. It's at that time in our life, and it's different for all of us probably, depending on our situation, but that's when the things of this world quit pulling on us so bad. Well, we know they're still there, and we still need these things in life. We need food, we need things, but they're just not as important anymore. We just want to know more and more. We just want to get closer and closer. We want his approval more and more. And that's what we do. And that's the hungering that we have now. Different from when I was younger, I didn't hunger for those things. I wasn't taught that way. I had to learn that way. He leads me beside still waters. Still water. Now sheep, I've told you they panic pretty easily. Sheep don't do good along fast-moving, rushing water. Still water, what the meaning of the still water is, it's a level section of a moving stream with no visible current. But because the stream does move, the water supply is fresh. It's not a stagnant pool of water. It's moving water. But like they say, still waters run deep. Well, if they're still, how can they run? I mean, it's perplexing to think about that. But still waters to a sheep is a safe place to get a drink, a safe place to get satisfied. Once again, it's the shepherd that leads them beside these still waters, the best places to get the water that they need. Water in the Bible represents life. Unled, thirsty sheep will drink from any water source. Philip Keller talks about even hoof prints that were made that have been filled with dirty water and other things that a sheep will actually drink from. I was a cattle guy. I had 500 cows once upon a time. Cows do the same thing. I think it's sort of normal for livestock. How do they drink that filthy water? Why don't they go over there and get them some good-looking water? They don't need that. The point is the shepherd helps them find the best thing for them. He cares about them. He wants to provide the best for them. In a similar manner, because we're comparing the things that sheep do to the things that man does, Christ told that thirsty souls can be fully satisfied from drinking from Christ Himself. Jeremiah 2 tells us about God wanting to give His people good, clean water, spiritual drink, but they hewn out cisterns for themselves that were broken down, and it wasn't good water. They wanted their own water. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to be led. One of our tasks in life is to be leadable, to take what God gives us and use those things because He loves us and He wants to provide the best for us. John 7:37 tells us that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So what does that mean? To thirst in this sense is to desire salvation, to want something like thirst. We know what thirst is. I probably can't explain it too good. I can say thirst is when you're thirsty. Okay? Doesn't do good to define a word with its word, but we all know what thirsty means. Little kids know when they're thirsty. We know when we're thirsty. And to drink is to believe, to drink it in, to take Him in, is to believe and accept Christ. The problem with so many people today and throughout the eons of time, they don't know exactly what they're looking for. Just don't know. And they don't know where to find it. In doing so, a person who gets this premonition about God thinks that they can do anything they want to be close to God by just doing it their own way, just coming up with their own ideas. And their spiritual life will never be a God-filled life, not a true one. The Bible, God's Word, is the only true source of living water. What we need in our lives to grow in Christ and to live the way we should live. David had frustrations and temptations. Obviously, we know the stories of David. You can learn about so many things from him, and he was a great leader, but he had failures as well. In Psalm 42, he says, "Why is my soul cast down?" Being cast down or cast in the sheep world is a situation a sheep can get into. With sheep have a high center of gravity. Okay? They're top heavy. They tip easy. I hear kids now saying they're going out and do cow tipping. And I go like, what kind of crazy thing is that? Well, I guess they tip cows over. I've never thought that would be that fun. But I don't really want to be around those cows anymore. A cast sheep is one that has turned over and can't get up. We'll see it, some insects like beetles or something, you can see them on their back, they fell off something, they're on the back, they can't get traction with their legs, and they're over. They're upside down. Turtles, we can sort of envision what a turtle does. If a shepherd doesn't come to the rescue of a cast sheep, the sheep will die. They say sometimes in hours and maybe up to a couple days, depending on the weather, how hot it is, but sheep need water. It's said that it's a common thing when you're in sheep country and you see a cast sheep, you stop your car or you climb the fence and you go over and you help them up. Because that sheep out there, if he could talk people language, it'd be, "I've fallen, I can't get up. And I got my..." My sister and my wife got my mother one of those alert necklaces that she got, and she just, because she's 99 and she's falling down and we never know when she's down, and we don't want her suffering those kind of things. But my mom's a different subject, and she has her own way of doing things, and so we canceled that subscription and took the necklace back. This at 99 is not a time to start figuring out your mother, okay? It's too late. We too can see people that are struggling in their life that need help, and we need to stop and help to get them up. There's a couple reasons that sheep can get cast. And one thing is when they get pregnant, they've got more inside of them, or they're a little top heavy. I cannot give you a good analogy to apply that to your life. as a Christian, so we're going to skip that one. But the point is, sheep can get top heavy when they lay down, when they get too comfortable. You know how it is. You sit down sometimes and you just end up laying on down. You're like, oh man, this feels good. And then the organs inside the sheep will shift. And now they're top heavy. And the way they're built with the wool on them, their legs are just sticking out here. And they can't get a hold of the ground and get themselves back up. And they can't, like sometime, I know there was a time when I was in high school, I could do 500 setups in a PE period of time without stopping. 500. Now, if I'm going to try to do a setup, like set up in bed to get out, the best tactic is like roll over my side, throw my feet out on the floor, and let me sort of drag myself out like a slinky. And that may work for you too, but there is a time we could do that. But trying to get ourselves up, getting too comfortable for a sheep can get them in trouble, just like a person. When a sheep's wool grows too full, when a sheep's wool gets wet, can make them top heavy. People, just like sheep, can get too comfortable in their lifestyle. And they think they have it made, or they get, we'll just say, too full of themselves, too high on themselves, think they're just too important for the everyday things that God wants us to do. To them, they depend on their stuff instead of God. They forget who gave them the strength to get the things that they have. The rich farmer thought, take thine ease. God thought, thou fool. The rich young lawyer thought he had done enough. Jesus thought, take up your cross and follow me. We don't think exactly the way that our shepherd thinks, do we? In Isaiah 53 and 6, we're told, we have all, like sheep, gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And we do that. And maybe it's okay to a degree because we do have our own individuality, but we have to keep turning back. And that's the process of life. Things are going to drag us away a little bit. Let's just don't get too far away. We think we know what's best for us when we do something, even though it hurts us. And then we do it again. We stay up too late. We eat too much. We spend too much. We say, never going to do that again. And then the next day we do it again. It's our nature. We need to be careful with that. Maybe it's because we love darkness rather than light, but more likely it is we forget that our shepherd is watching us and hearing us and knowing everything that we do. It's spiritually healthy to realize at every moment of our life that God is watching us. Proverbs 14 and 12 tells us there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof lead unto death. On the other hand, Jesus tells us, I am the way and the life. We have too many broken homes and too many broken hearts in this country not to remember that following God's paths of righteousness will get us in trouble. For those that don't take His yoke upon them to remind them to make good, godly decisions. God made it clear that His way is narrow and straight. It's a way of life of self-denial and self-sacrifice, a way that demands a new attitude, a way not easy for a man to go. It's a way that puts others ahead of self. It's a way that puts you last here so you can be first up there. It's a way that we learn that whatever Jesus asks us to do, we know that everything's going to turn out okay to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. It's a way that if instead of searching for our own greener pastures, we stay content and satisfied in God's pasture and His water of life. How can any one of us keep our way pure? by guarding it according to His Word. His Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. It is a guide that leads us in paths of righteousness. It's a way that if we look around and see all the other green places that so many others strive to be, we will be content to stay the course right where we are and say every day, I'm glad to be one of His sheep. And isn't that awesome that we can say that? That we are His sheep because we follow Him. We're told that the Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. We're told that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. So to conclude this morning, we've learned some things about sheep that are similar to the things about people. We've learned of several things that sheep need to lead a healthy physical life, and several things that people need to live a contented, spiritual, godly life. As sheep are helpless without their shepherd, without Him guiding and providing for them, so are people, hopeless without God's guidance and provisions. As sheep who are left alone without a good shepherd will perish, so too will people. But just as a good shepherd has provided the best ways for his sheep, so too has our Lord provided the best ways for us. That way is through Jesus. So now for the invitation this morning and all these things that we've heard, I want to put it this way. So have you named Jesus as your Savior? Have you committed yourself to Him? Have you followed Him the way you truly should? Are you sitting there thinking, I've got time to do that, today's not it. I'm going to do it. Well, let me tell you how time goes. I thought I had plenty of time to get this lesson together, and I did because I'm an early starter. I just cannot put things off. But here's what happened to me. If I do like I sort of do when I have to do things at Nixa, because I'm doing a lot of things and teaching and that kind of thing, and I put it off to a couple weeks ahead of time, if I'd have done that here, they moved this fall meeting up 2 weeks. And I go like, where'd my time go? But I'm not that person. Because I was prepared. I was ready to get it over with. It's good. So if you're sitting there thinking you have plenty of time, you got 2 more weeks, you're going to do it later, maybe you don't. Because life has a way of throwing some curveballs at us. Sometimes we run out of time, and it just doesn't work out the way we thought. We're told that today is the day of salvation. Today. This is the time. It's the best time. Now, it'll be later for many, but there's a lot of people that just don't care. They sit there and say, one of these days. And I can tell you, it gets harder and harder. I've told you, I think I told you last Sunday when I was over here, it's 27 for me. I didn't know. But I'm telling you, I sat there when John was talking about this stuff, and he says, you got to leave your father and your mother and your brothers and sisters and your wife, and you got to take up your cross, and you got to do all these things. And I sit there and say, I did all that. And it wasn't easy, and it's not fun. And sometimes I'm called the black sheep in my Brownsburger family because I did not stay the way my parents were. But I had to decide. I had a harder pull on me from my Lord than I did from my old life. And I had to give it up. And I'm so glad I did. And I had to get out those Kleenexes there and wipe my eyes because I said, thank you, Lord, for finding me when you did. It was 27, now it's backwards, it's 72. I'm glad to be a sheep. I'm so glad He found me. I don't ever want to leave Him. I learned a lot. This lesson was for me. Thanks for having me over here. If you've never named the name of Jesus, you need to do it. If you haven't really committed your life to Him, you need to do it. We don't know how much time we have. It'll come like a flash in the night. We were talking to Matt the other day. It's going to happen so fast. We're not going to know when it's going to get here. But it's going to. Because we can't just trust in some good things that the Bible tells us and not trust in the bad things as well. His promises are true. If you've never named Jesus as your Savior, we ask that you come and stand as we sing the song of invitation.